This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
Hey, hey, what's going on? You're listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree Mitchell. I am the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a space of intentional healing for Black women who are still struggling to identify the beauty within themselves and are also struggling to live a life of wholeness and wellness. I realize I switched that up from what I normally say, but I'm going straight from the heart on this and straight from the heart on this specific episode. So I'm just kind of in a state of, I guess, flow, if you will. So if you hear me pausing, it's because I have zero notes in front of me and I want to collect my thoughts. So I want to talk about how we Black women, me, you, I know you do it because I do it, and we kinfolk, right? And I feel like I can be vulnerable with you in this conversation, so we're going to just keep it plain, right? But I want to talk about how we are always able to love and support others, but we can't find the capacity to do that for ourselves. Why is that, Black woman? Like, why is that? I don't have a specific answer. Like, scientifically, it's because 2.1%. I don't have those kind of receipts. This is really just a thought that I've been thinking recently. And it's just like, why does this happen? So let me reframe this. Or not reframe this. Let me frame this. I am recording this episode from a beautiful location that I've been staying at for a couple of days. I found this little retreat. It's a Christian retreat. And it's kind of hard to explain. It's not like a retreat. When you think of retreat, you probably think of, or most of us think of, like a hotel, or you're somewhere outdoors and you are with other people, or it can be solo retreats as well, but there might be a swimming pool. There might be like special catering and healthy food and things like that. That's not necessarily what this is. I'm at a location. It's kind of like an Airbnb. That's the easiest way to put it. It's an Airbnb. The homeowners live in this. I'm sure it's a beautiful home on the property, very close by. And then they have this back area where people can come and stay, and you just come and you enjoy the quiet. You enjoy, they even have like a prayer room in here. It's just really nice, at least in this one. There's an upstairs and a downstairs. I don't know what the downstairs looks like. I know it's smaller. I decided to splurge, quote unquote splurge, and it was very affordable, by the way. So I'm using splurge in quotations. But I'm in the upstairs unit, and it's basically like an apartment or a home. You know, there's a kitchen, a living room, bedroom, bathroom, and then outside there are just like all these trees and like a very little garden or flowers, and there's horses in the area, so you might hear horses making. What's the sound that horses make? They neigh or whinny. I don't really know. Clearly, I'm not a horse girl, even though they're beautiful. I would love to go horseback riding, y'all. I've only done it maybe twice in my life, and it's been a very long time since I've done it, but I would love to go horseback riding. Anyway, I am going completely off the rails here. Anyway, I'm staying at this little retreat by myself, and I've had some time to think and reflect. I mean, literally, it's only been less than 2 days. And I'm actually, after I record this episode, I'm going to be packing up so I can go, even though I have a few more hours here. I'm like, I'm just ready to go home. I have things to do and I want to get home and enjoy my own coffee. You know, I'm just used to my own things. And the stay here was very lovely, by the way. And I met the owners, it's a husband and wife. They were very nice. And we talked maybe like 15, 20 minutes, I guess. And then they left me to it. They were like, let's get out of your way. And they went back to their home. And I've just been enjoying the relative, quiet of this neighborhood. And actually, it's kind of off topic, but yesterday I cried, y'all. I cried yesterday because actually I cried twice here. The first time I cried, and I'm a crier, y'all. I am not ashamed to say it. I am a crier. There are times when I am just very sensitive. There are times when I cry because something's so funny that it just cracks me up and puts me in tears. There are times I cry when I feel like I don't even know what I am crying for. It's just like, I cry if something makes me feel really like overjoyed and overwhelmed and I'm so like happy, or I don't know. I can just cry. I just cry. And I'm not ashamed of that, especially because a lot of times we're taught that we should not have that as a form of release. Like crying is just not acceptable at times. The reason for the cry is because as I was driving through the neighborhood, and seeing these beautiful properties, and they're kind of like, I don't know what the specific style of these homes are. I'm just going to call them ranch style homes. I'm not even sure if that's correct. I don't know. But these ranch style homes, these big properties, even when I look to my right, you know, the Hollywood Hills, I know, you know what the Hollywood Hills are. So to my right, there are some hills with homes on top. It's not Hollywood, but all these homes are on these hills, and there's horses, there's horse trails, there's horses. It seems like everyone has a horse. I don't know. The point is, it's just a different vibe. It's just a different experience than what I'm accustomed to as a city. When I say city girl, because I'm still in the city, but there's a difference. In my kind of city, there's constant traffic. I hear a fire truck and a ambulance all the time. There's always an accident around the corner from my house. Literally at least twice a week, there's an accident. And I even had to call the city to have them change the stoplights to help lessen these accidents that were constantly happening. And they actually did it. So getting back to the tears, why was I crying, y'all? Oh, because just the experience is so different. And that's why Black people, Black women, Black woman, you, me, we need to make sure that we are getting out of our little bubbles as often as possible, okay? Some of us, and this is, I'm not saying this in judgment, please hear my heart. Some of us have not gone outside of maybe a 1 mile radius, 1 or 2 mile radius from our homes, or even a 5 mile radius from our homes, okay? And it's easy to think that what we are experiencing or what we're seeing on a day-to-day basis is just how everyone lives, is just the experience of everyone else, because we're so, not laser focused, but we're so like in our space and used to our space that that's what we know. And we don't really experience anything differently, especially if you're in a cycle of wake up, get dressed, go to work, go to the gym, pick up the kids, go home, eat dinner, go to sleep, wake up, eat breakfast, get ready for work, drop the kids off, go to work, go to the gym, pick up the kids, go home, eat dinner, go to bed. And the weekends you might go to like the park, or, you know, or maybe you stay home or you just run errands. You know what I'm saying? So it's so easy to think that this is the world, but I want you to understand, baby, that the world is so huge. The world is so huge and the world is so diverse. And I'm going to break it to you. Everybody ain't living a life of struggle. I know you know that, but I have to make sure I make that plain. Everybody's not living a life of struggle. And everybody's not living how you live, regardless of how you live. You know, I don't know how you live, but I'm just saying everyone doesn't live how you live. Everyone does not live
how I live. We have certain struggles, we have certain privileges, but I just want to make sure that I do my best to impart this type of wisdom to you, that it's okay, excuse me, to expand your world. It's okay to evolve. It's okay to elevate. It's okay to want something different. It's okay to have new experiences as often as you want, as often as you would like to. It's okay to start a budget that you put money to so that once a month you can do something that's out of your ordinary, so that you can continue to expand your mind. You can continue to evolve. Okay. We were meant to grow. We were meant to evolve. We were. It's hard to do that when you're in a cycle of struggle. It's hard to do that when you're in a cycle of, I don't know, like you for whatever reason, have it in your mind that these things are things that I can do and everything else is off the table, or it's not even to be considered. Does that make sense? I want you to evolve. I want you to expand. I want you to grow. I want you to experience all kinds of new things, be it different types of people, different types of food, different types of environments, different locations. Because that's what I want for me too. I want that for me too. I want that for you. I want that for my daughter. I want that for you. I want that for my friends. Like that's what I really want for us. That's what I want for us. So yeah, your girl cried because as I'm driving around and I'm seeing these people on their freaking horses, and I've seen horses before in my neighborhood. People are still for some reason, there's like a couple of little, I don't even know what they are, but people in my neighborhood have horses. So when I first moved there, I was just like, why is this man riding down the street on a horse? So it's not like I've not seen that, but it's still different. It's different. It's just different. This area that I'm in, which is literally 35, 40 minutes away from where I live. It's just different. It's just different. And that's why I cried, because it's like, God, you know, the things that you cry for, at least for me, the things that I cry for, I feel like those are the things that my soul is like, this is really what I want. This is what my spirit is craving. So I cried just a little bit. I did cry because I was like, God, I want to live a life more like this. It's just so peaceful. And please don't get it twisted. I'm not saying this is like the quote unquote perfect neighborhood. Please. Like there was literally a party or something that was happening in the next house over and they was cutting up. They was getting loose. But so like I said, trust and believe. But it's outside of that, like overall, it's just different. It's just different. It's more peaceful. It's obviously, I don't know. The neighborhood's different. It's not all congested. I don't know. And then if you go a few blocks away, I'm sure it's totally different. You know what I mean? But in this specific pocket, it's just a different vibe. And so I was very appreciative of that. But yeah, your girl cried. And I'm like, this is something that I want to experience more. So I'm definitely going to come and return. But it's what I want for my life as well. So if you feel like you're like for me, it's the crying. When I cry, it's just like, like, what about this is causing me to cry? And then I kind of like think about it a little bit, you know what I mean? And that's kind of like an indicator of something. I'm not saying that it's something bad or something good, but it's an indicator of like, hey, I need to maybe just, when I have a moment, just kind of think about that a little bit and see if there was something in that for me to kind of process, you know what I mean? So anyway, let's get back to the point of this episode. So that's what I did for self-care for this week, by the way. And so, okay, here we go. Point of this episode, and I want to make it short and quick, is, you know, us having the capacity to support other people and love on other people. And it's so hard for us to do that same thing for ourselves. It's so hard for us to be our own cheerleaders. It's so hard for us to show ourselves compassion. It's so hard for us to love ourselves. It can be so hard for us to accept ourselves. It's just hard. And it's just like, why can we do that for other people? And I'm wondering if a part of it that we're doing it, are we doing it to people please so that we can get more acceptance from other people? Or is this a genuine love that we have and a genuine support that we have for others? Either way, we do these things for others, but then when it's time for us to pour that same into ourselves, we find excuses why we're not worthy of it. We want to justify, not justify why we deserve self-love and deserve support and compassion. We look for ways to justify why we don't need those things. Excuse me, why we don't need those things, or why we're not worthy of having those things, or why we don't deserve, you know, to feel that way about ourselves or to appreciate ourselves in that way. We think that it, maybe we think it's like an ego thing. Maybe we think it's just like, it makes us soft and we got to be hard. You know what I mean? Maybe it means, you just feel some kind of way about yourself and you just can't get over that hurdle to really accepting it or opening yourself up to accepting self-love and self-compassion and support. Maybe this is something that you've never really experienced. And so now that you're an adult, you're like, I don't know how to do that. You know what I mean? I don't even know what that feels like. I don't know how to do it. It wasn't modeled behavior for me. It wasn't something that I was shown. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I can't sit up here and give you all the reasons for it. All I can tell you, though, is I know that it's a problem and I know that it's rampant for us, for Black women. Okay. If it's not you directly, I'm sure you know people in your life that know exactly where I'm coming from. And since you're in support of those people, you know what I mean? It's still a message for you. It's still a message for you. I wish that I could wave a magic wand and just say, okay, bada boom, bada bing, and voila, right? But that's just not how it goes, unfortunately. There's work that needs to be done. There's healing that needs to happen. There's some hard truths that need to be looked at that a lot of us shy away from for one reason or a million reasons that make it so hard, so challenging, so, I don't even know, to even want to begin that work. But I promise you, like, it's necessary. I don't think that we can fully expand and live the type of life that we envision ourselves living if we do not make room for self-love. I just don't think that it's possible. Somebody prove me wrong. Let me know. Show me someone that doesn't love themselves and is living this life that just is exactly what they envision. I know that there are people out there that could be billionaires, millionaires, whatever, and we're looking at them and we think they have it all together. But the point is, like, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how many properties you own. I don't care how many cars you have or drive. I don't care what your credit score is. Like, these are all physical. I don't care if you have the quote unquote perfect body. Like, these are all physical things. Just because someone has those things, it does not mean that they have the peace inside. It doesn't mean that they have like inner peace. It doesn't mean that they have self-love. It just doesn't. It doesn't. No matter what we see on the outside, it does not necessarily reflect what's going on internally. I want you to remember that, because sometimes we put these people on a pedestal. We think they're better than us. We think that because they look a certain way, they speak a certain way, they have certain assets and things like that, that they have it all. And I'm not saying that there aren't people out there that do have inner peace and they have these trappings of success. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, first of all, never judge a book by its cover. And number two, like, don't worry about those people anyway. Okay. Again, we put a lot of these people on a pedestal, and I've done it too. Okay. Please hear me. But the point is, don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry about what other people have. Don't worry about what other people are going to be getting. Like, don't worry about those things. Worry about yourself. And make your inner peace and your self-love priority number one. And obviously your relationship with God too. I need to start saying these kind of things more, because I always go in with the assumption that God obviously is like number one. Okay. At least for me. And I'm not trying to push you into anything. I'm just, when I come to you on the podcast, I'm giving you my, my perspective. So for me, I try, and I do it so imperfectly, but I want to, and I try to keep God as number one. For me, that right now I'm in a season where my faith is being challenged. And I heard someone say, I don't know who it was, something along the lines of like how faith is currency. I don't know who said that, but that stuck with me. And so I'm trying my best, not so that God can give me things, but obviously we want our Father, our Heavenly Father, to provide for us, right? But I try to make God number one. So I need to start saying that more to make that clear. Because for me, it's just an assumption. But I always forget sometimes that you are not me, so you're not in my head. But in any case, like that inner peace, that self-love, you know, that to me personally should be, for me, the priority. I think that once you get the inner peace and the self-love dialed in, I feel like other things are naturally going to start to happen. Those things that you want to see in your life, I feel like those things will start to naturally happen. I'm not saying they're going to happen at a rapid pace and like overnight kind of thing. But I feel like once the inner is dialed in, and once the inner is, you know, it's going, I feel like the outer will start to kind of catch up, if that makes sense. Because I feel like what you feel internally will manifest outwardly in some way. I just don't think it's possible that it would not. I just don't feel like it's possible that it would not. So in any case, why aren't we able to love ourselves the way that we do for other people? Why? We can support everybody else, and we do support everybody else. But when it comes to us, we're last. Why is that? I'm leaving space here so that you can reflect on that. Like, I really want you to take a second and answer this question. Like, just off the top of your head, what's the first thing that comes to your spirit when it comes to supporting yourself, when it comes to being your own best cheerleader, when it comes to self-love, self-acceptance, compassion, all those things? Why do you put yourself last? Trying to leave space for you to answer that question. And that might not be a question that you're able to answer quickly. Sometimes I feel like when I just kind of let something come up quickly, I get that answer. Okay. So that's why I left space for you to kind of ponder in case something hits your spirit, you know? But I want you to think about that. Because in order for us to see these kind of changes in our lives, in order for us to be more accepting of ourselves, we got to start to get to the roots of really what's going on. We got to start getting to the roots of what's really going on. We want to build a solid foundation, or we want to have a solid foundation. And for some of us, having a solid foundation means we've got to scratch the old foundation and start completely over. And that sucks. It really does. Do you know how much work? Like, just imagine that you built a house by yourself, Okay. Or remember back in, well, remember, like we were there. But in the old days, I'm thinking like Little House on the Prairie or I don't know, around those times, they would build the houses. I don't know how long it would take, but let's just say you and your neighbors were building your house and you had to get all the supplies and things like that. And it took, let's say it took 3 months of 20 people to build your house. I don't really know how long it takes. I'm just kind of going off the cuff here. But after the house was built and you lived in the house for X amount of years, you realized that 10 years later, like this house really is not a good house. It has provided me certain things that I've needed, like shelter and, you know, a little bit of safety and security and a place to rest my head. And those are beautiful things. But the foundation's like leaning 25% to the right. And, you know, like, I don't know what kind of things can go wrong in a house. Let's say the pipes are all busted and just whatever. Okay. And you realize, you know what? I got to tear this house down and redo the foundation and then rebuild the house. Of course, if that's a bummer, right? Because it took months and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of labor. But at that point, you have a decision to make. Either stay in that house, knowing that it's falling apart and it's wonky. It's not solid. You know what I'm saying? It's not supporting you in the way that you deserve to be supported. And it's literally falling apart. It's like chaos all around you. Or you can take the time that it's gonna need, that needs to be taken or required to dismantle the house brick by brick, uproot everything, and start completely over from scratch. Sounds scary, doesn't it? It sounds scary to me. I don't even own a house. Okay. And I realized that even just the cost of materials and the labor, like I said, it takes, you're having hot flashes, the belly fat crept up on you, and surprise, surprise, you also notice a few hairs on your chin. Is this you? Have you considered that it's your hormones? Do me a favor. I want you to go right now to Happy Mammoth and take their free 2-minute quiz, which can help you get to the root of your hormonal symptoms. Just answer a few questions to get a personalized recommendation to help you maintain optimal hormone levels. I took it myself. I sure did. And it gave me personalized insights and recommended Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that addresses key players in how your body functions, including stress hormones. Curious about yours? Go take that 2-minute quiz. It's an easy way to know where to start. In a survey, 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw improved mood, and 100% said that Hormone Harmony helped them feel like themselves again. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code SELFCARE at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SELFCARE for 15% off today. You know a snack is elite when it causes conversation, right? And let's be real. Wonderful pistachios? Yeah, they're that snack. Whether it's the crunch, the flavor, or the fact that they just hit every single time, people are always going to have something good to say. And there's a flavor for every vibe, from classic favorites to bold options like sweet chili and salt and pepper. Personally, I'm all about the in-shell roasted and salted because there's just something about cracking them open that just makes snack time even better. Oh, and let's not forget, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Pistachios are known for their protein power, their fiber, and better for you unsaturated fats for a combination that may help keep you feeling fuller longer. So whether you're snacking solo or sharing the love, get snacking and get cracking with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
So much to do that. But if the foundation is wrong, y'all, it's wrong. Right? If the foundation is wrong, it's wrong. And I'm saying this house, and I'm trying to give you a visual, but let's just put it into perspective of like people. Let's say our foundation was our parents, our when we were younger, or our family, or whatever. And they built us up in such a way. They tried their best to give us this safety and different things like that. But as an adult, you realize, my foundation is not solid. My foundation is not solid. I need to rebuild for my peace. I need to rebuild for my safety. I need to rebuild in honor of my humanity. I need to rebuild to support me better now that I'm an adult. I gotta rebuild. I gotta start from scratch. I gotta dig in deep into that soil, get my hands dirty, uproot everything in the garden. Okay, now I'm talking about gardening. I know I'm jumping, but I gotta start over. Because if I don't, the things that are going to continue to bloom are not going to bloom to their fullest potential. They are going to wither. They're not going to reach their maximum growth or capacity. Okay. And I feel like that's where I've been stuck for a long time. My foundation was not a solid foundation. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. My foundation was not a solid foundation. It is what it is. And for a very long time, and I still kind of do this too. For a very long time, I was looking to point the fingers versus looking to say, okay, at this point, it is what it is. How can I proactively rebuild myself, rebuild my life, rebuild my foundation? Because the time and energy it takes to point fingers, and listen, it for me, a part of my healing has been the uncovering of just different things that have happened to me in my life. But at a certain point, I have to move forward. In order for me to move forward so that I can do these things that are going to help me to love myself more and make me open and willing to love myself more and to show myself more compassion and grace and understanding and, you know, all these beautiful things, like, I gotta put my energy into that at some point. More energy into that than just wanting to call someone out, for example, and then not doing any of the work. Like, I feel personally like it's okay. I mean, it will be a lie to not acknowledge the things that you've experienced, okay? But what I'm saying is, for me, at a certain point, it's like I had to start pivoting into, yeah, those things happened, and I'm still trying to process those things. And I still believe that what that person or that situation did, you know, to me was not healthy. But, and that can be true, okay? And that is true. And I can proactively, you know, do things that are going to align me with the way that I want my humanity to be honored and cherished and loved. Does that make sense? And so if you're someone who is still struggling with self-love, which I don't feel like self-love is an easy thing. I feel like it's supposed to be easy. I feel like it should, quote unquote, should be easy. I really do. I feel like this should be, if nothing else, the easiest thing, but it's not. It's not. for a lot of us. It's not easy. And the thing that's, I guess, crazy to me is when it's like this vicious cycle, because when you, it's hard to even begin to give yourself self-love when you don't feel like you're worthy of self-love, or you don't feel like you're worthy of love. You don't feel like you're worthy of being treated with respect. You don't feel like you're worthy, of being treated a certain way. It's hard to start giving that to you because in your mind, it's probably like, nope. And there's like a lot of resistance. And then, but on the other hand, it's so easy to pour into other people, which I'm wondering how genuine that even is, because if your foundation isn't even built on self-love, but you're giving love and compassion and respect to others, it's like, you don't even have that for yourself. So what really is behind you giving that to someone else? What are you compensating for? What are you compensating for? Something that I've been sitting with very recently is, how do I even explain this without giving away too many details? I am a people pleaser. Okay, I've talked about that before. And I know of someone who's in a situation, and recently they told me some things that I don't want to really get into because it's not my business to share. And after I talked to this person, my immediate thought was, I need to start saving up money for this person so that in case they need it, I can just give it to them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can just give it to them. So maybe I can save up like $1,000. And then if they have an emergency and they need to get access to funds quickly, I can just be like, oh, here, person, I saved up this $1,000 for you. And here you go. I'm trying not to give too much away, so that might sound very, very weird, but I don't want to go into the specifics of it because I don't want this person to be identified by anything that I say. So, yeah, but I had to sit with that and say, and this was after talking to my therapist too, because my therapist even asked me, like, why are you doing that? What's the reason behind it? And I gave my therapist an answer, which was true. But as I continue to sit with it over the last week or two, I'm just like, it led me down a rabbit hole of how I'm quick to support others financially, even when I don't really have that to do. Like, I had this person reach out to me on maybe Instagram, and I'm not doing this anymore, y'all, so please don't send me any requests. I had someone reach out to me, and this is a real story. I had someone reach out to me on Instagram, maybe, and they were in my DMs. This is going to sound really stupid, but this is just the type of person that I am, okay? And I want you to assume that this is a legit real person. It could have been a scam, but I want you to assume this is a legit person, okay? Had someone reach out to me. They were talking about how they're in a domestic violence situation, yada, yada, yada. And they asked for some help. And I sent this person, I'm guessing maybe like $200 to $300. $250. I don't know the exact amount. I can't remember. Let's just say $300. I don't recall the amount, honestly. But it was definitely at least 200, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I'm not getting the numbers wrong. Anyway, I just sent it immediately through PayPal. Y'all, do you know that every week I would get another message from this person saying how now, you know, they're trying to stay in a hotel with their kids. Can you send me some more money? I don't even know if I sent money a second time. Maybe I did. I think I did a second time, possibly, but it was like maybe $50 or $75 or something like that. And then they just kept sending me messages and I just had to like ignore. When I see someone driving, when I'm driving down the street and I see someone homeless, I'll like in my mind, like if I don't give them money as I'm passing by, like I make that to mean like I'm a bad person. Like, this is just how my mind works. And I'm just being real with you. So something about money. I have a lot of financial trauma, y'all. I know I'm kind of going around, circling around the drain here. But I'm trying to give you a full understanding when I'm talking about like self-love in regards to my life, okay? But I have a lot of financial trauma. I have a lot of financial issues. And that's something that I'm like healing and recovering from. And, but yeah, that's just how my mind works. Like, give money, 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 money. If you have it, money, money, money. And so I'm dealing with that, but it's like, if I'm giving and I'm doing it quote unquote joyfully, I'm doing it from a place of love and support and things like that. But then I can't do those things regularly for myself. Like, there's a disconnect. There's definitely a disconnect. And I feel like if I am not loving myself fully, but I'm doing these things for other people, I'm not really doing it out of love, because I don't feel like, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like I can genuinely love and support someone else if I'm not doing those things for myself. Like, it has to start with you. It has to start with us. It has to start with us. That's the point. So if you find like you are someone that's an overgiver, if you find that you're someone that's a people pleaser, you know, I want you to sit with that. I want you to sit with that. And I know that could be hard because a lot of us are on autopilot, especially because our lives are so, so busy, so busy. But I want you to sit with yourself and ask yourself why. And I also want you to sit with that and ask yourself, like, when I think about self-love, like, what does self-love look like to me? What does self-love feel like to me? What does self-love mean to me? I want you to journal that. What does self-love look like to me? Or what is my definition of self-love? And then once you've written that down, I want you to go back and read what you wrote and then ask yourself, am I doing these things? Am I showing up for myself in these ways? I'll bet many of us will probably say no, or not consistently. Not consistently. And so if that's you, I mean, I've obviously talked about this before, so this is not new, but I want you to get into therapy. If you are not in a place where you can get into therapy, I want you to start finding a way to talk to people. This is not sponsored, by the way, but I was using BetterHelp for a while, and I really loved that app or that process where I can go and just talk to someone. I forget what the price was, but and they're not therapists, but they're kind of like counselors, if you will. Or like, for example, I could probably be on BetterHelp as a counselor. I don't know what the qualifications are. I forget, because this was like maybe a year ago since I've been on, but I was going pretty regularly and just talking through some things with someone. But it was a big help. So in other words, talk to someone, get therapy. If you don't have access to that, at minimum, I feel like journaling would definitely be a good place to start. If you're not journaling, I know I talk about journaling a lot, y'all, but I've been journaling for some years now, and it can be very eye-opening. It can be very eye-opening when you just allow yourself to sit, be still, and write. Sit, be still, write. Maybe you can do it every day. Maybe you can do it a couple times a week. Maybe you can do it a few times a month. Like, really, it's up to you and your internal rhythms. I'm an advocate for doing it every day if possible. But I know that everyone's not able to necessarily do that. We have different things going on at different times, different seasons and all that. But the fact of you writing things down, there's something amazing and magical about writing things down for several reasons. When it comes to like your life, goals, journaling, to-do lists, like all those things, there's just something about putting pen to paper, writing things out. That's science. That's science. So I don't need to tell you that. You already know that. But journal. Try that. Allow yourself to do more affirmations. People think that affirmations are stupid, but I don't feel like they are. Like, if you cannot look at yourself in the mirror and say, well, like I'm saying to myself, Bree, I love you. I appreciate you. I support you. You are amazing. You are incredible. You're so smart. You're so, I don't know. I'm trying to think of things off the cuff. Your life is amazing. Your life is brilliant. You have a strong vision. You are a powerful woman. Just different things. Like if you can't get into the mirror and say nice things about yourself, that's a problem. That's a problem. Especially if you can then go out and say nice things about other people. Like, again, there's a disconnect there. There's a disconnect there. So there's got to be some way that you can start to pouring self-love into yourself. And it might feel really weird at first, because especially if you're taught, like, anything that has to do with self is selfish. If it's like, oh, you ask for too many things, you want too much, you are not thinking about other people, you need to share more, you need to support me in this way, instead of spending so much time on yourself. Like, there's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of reasons why. But we've got to allow ourselves to be uncomfortable enough to start moving forward in our self-love journeys, in our healing journeys. We have to. Because those changes that you want to see in your life, they're not going to happen, sis. Or if they do, the foundation is going to be shaky. Nothing good is going to be built on a self-loathing foundation. Nothing worth having is going to be built on a foundation where you don't have your peace. You can't support yourself. You can't talk to yourself the way that you deserve to be talked to. You can't just do the things for yourself, whatever self-love means for you. If you can't do those things, you can't be those things, because the things that we do, like our actions become who we are. Like if you can't be self-love, in essence, like your foundation's not, it's just not going to happen, sis. Not in the way that you deserve. Not in the way that you deserve. It's just not. That's real talk. It's just not going to happen the way that you deserve. So again, I want you to seriously and be real with yourself. After you listen to this episode, I really want you to think about, like, what, on a scale of 1 to 10, for example, 1 being, oh my God, I can't even stand to look at myself. I don't even like myself. I hate myself. There's no judgment if you're 1, by the way, because I've been a negative 116. Okay. That was a very random number. I'm sorry. But 1 being that and 10 being, oh my God, I just adore myself. I love myself. Can't nobody come to me and tell me something about me that's going to break me down, because I'm secure in who I am. I have an inner peace that just cannot be shooketh. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I see myself. I know that I'm beautiful. I know I have these amazing qualities about me. Just those kind of things, right? Where do you fall on that spectrum? I would say for me right now, real talk, like in this moment, I would say my self-love quotient number, I don't even know what I was trying to say. It's probably I would say it's probably like a 7, maybe somewhere in there. But again, maybe like a 7, probably like a 7. But keep in mind that, and some days it goes down and some days it's higher. But keep in mind, again, I was at a deficit. I was at a deficit before. So there's definitely been like growth. And I'm not saying that if you're a 10 right now, you may fall to like a 6, but I'm saying, like, how often are you in the lower numbers compared to how often are you in like the higher numbers? That's also something that you want to consider too, in my opinion, because the patterns that you'll start to see are going to give you more data about yourself, your life. That information is all like necessary. It's all important. So that's just something for you to think about. But yeah, the self-love thing, again, me as a people pleaser, and it's insane because I would literally, I don't know. I don't want to make this episode longer than it is. I already see that we're at like 49 minutes and I could talk about this all day. But girl, it's just like our collective trauma has really done a disservice, and our collective traumas have really just done a number on us. It really has. It really has. And unfortunately, it's up to us to, you can't erase. I don't feel like you can erase the things that have happened. I just don't, I mean, someone please, if you're a therapist, a doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't feel like it can be erased. It's happened. We know about it. It's not like, you know what I mean? But I do believe very strongly that we can heal from the points that we are. Even if you're at your lowest right now, there is healing available for you. Even if you're at your lowest point right now, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, there is healing available for you. There is joy available for you. There is self-love available for you. It is going to require some work, including, again, therapy. Definitely continue talking to God. God is everywhere. God is in your car. God is in your home. God is at your job. God is outside. Like, continue talking to God. Continue talking to God. And do some things that will allow you to get quiet. Sometimes that means you have to leave where you are and travel a little bit, right? Like I drove, what, 35 minutes or so, 35, 40 minutes to get to this place so that I could have some peace for a couple of days. Like sometimes it's going to require us physically removing ourselves from the situation that we're in so that we can go somewhere and have that quiet so that we can hear ourselves, hear our inner dialogues, hear what God is saying, hear what our spirits are saying. Like it's going to get that clarity. Sometimes, or a lot of times, you're going to need some quiet, peaceful quiet. And I don't think a lot of us, at least those of us that are in like in a city situation, I don't think we're used to that. At least I'll raise my hand and say, I know that I'm not, because I'm realizing just how quiet this neighborhood is in relation to my own. And I'm a little bummed actually, because like I said, after I record this, I'm going back home. And though I'm ready to go home, it's only been a couple of days. I miss my bed. I miss my coffee. I miss my things. I'm not excited about going back into that noisy environment at all. So I'm a little bummed about that. And that's another reason why I cried, y'all, because it was just like the contrast in the silence, in the peace, in the neighborhoods are so different. And I am just, I know for a fact that I'm going to live this type of life one way or another. I feel like it's all happening for me behind the scenes. And it's going to happen. And I'm going to be doing a podcast episode one day where I'm going to be like, y'all, I am moving. I am moving into my new home. I am moving into this new area. Something. I don't really know, but I just know that that's going to happen. It is going to happen. Just like it's going to happen for me, the things that my heart desires, those things that your heart desires, they will happen for you as well. I feel like, though, we need to strengthen our foundations in order for that to start to kind of happen in a way that makes sense, in a way that is sustainable. Because again, without the foundation, now God can work anything out. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he can't, but what I'm saying is that without that foundation, like I feel like it's going to just be harder to build something solid, if that makes any sense. And like I said, we of above pretty much all people, we definitely, Black women, have to really go hard on the self-love because we've had so much of it stripped away from us. It's one thing if you just lived in a quote-unquote, like if you came from like a normal background, you know what I'm saying? Dealing with self-love issues, which are still hard, don't get me wrong. I'm not discounting any of that. But I'm saying if you shift that perspective to someone whose history for decades, years, centuries, started as a lot of ours started. And then it was like trauma upon trauma going generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. You know what I mean? We're at like a self-love deficit, excuse me, a lot of us. And so we really got to go hard on that self-love just to even get to like, just to even get to like a zero, for example, because I feel like we're operating from, or we were operating from a deficit. So even just to get to like a zero or a one and then build from there, like I feel like there's just more work to be done. I hope this makes sense what I'm saying. I really, really do. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up because I do want to make my way out of here. But I just want to encourage you, sis, this week to just think about self-love and think about what type of environments, what type of experiences, what type of people around you are going to help you cultivate that type of inner peace and inner self-love that you need to build your foundation on, to tear down and build that foundation that you deserve to have. All of it matters. All of it's important. My stomach is literally growling. but all of it matters. All of it's important, right? It's all relevant. It's all relevant. So hopefully I've given you some, I'm hoping I gave you some words of wisdom in this episode. I'm hoping also that I've given you some things to kind of journal on and think about. But as I wrap up, I just want to let you know this week, I wish for you peace. I wish for you joy. I wish for you love, self-love, 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 and God's peace this week for your life. And that's it for the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. I will see you next Monday. Take care.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.